Holy Gospel for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. Praise and glory to God. This continues on from last Sunday's Gospel of the Vine and the Branches. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Karangapai tēnei ā te ka aiti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Lovely to be up here, and I'm just touched a little bit because we've had some leading here, I think, right from the beginning. Who's felt the Spirit of the Lord here? Just as we were drawing through, just the whole thing of coming into the place, and then I think finishing off in these last few songs just touched me quite dearly in terms of I want to trust you, God. And it's, I guess, what I'm going to be talking a little bit about today. I loved last week's sermon, Bruce, thank you. And I think I mentioned to you about about the true vine. And here Jesus is trying to, remind his disciples what he's here for and what he's offering them. I loved the image that he gave of the deep sea diver's suit. And if you weren't connected to the haul line or to the oxygen, you were lost. And very graphic. And I love those sort of imageries. And I guess one of the beautiful things about the Bible is how, and even Jesus himself amplified the whole thing of being able to use imagery as a way of trying to get a connection to what he's really trying to say. What I call the spirit of intent, and I'll mention that a little bit later on. Key words were, who remembers the key words? One down there, my wife, because I told her. I reminded her. Connect. Do you remember the word connect and remain? Remain in. And so the gospel today, when I was reading the New King James Version, it talks about abiding in. And for years, I've always struggled to understand what abide means. What's the real essence of that word? And it's a word we don't use very much at all now. I mean, when's the last time somebody said to you, where's your abode? Or where do you abide? We just don't use it. But I guess one of the things now, we have the use of so many versions. So the words we hear, or the original word that might have been used in the gospel, for example, has translated into a whole lot of different meanings, which have different connections for us. But the key word for the day, I guess, is what I'm doing. I want to talk about connect, and this remaining in, this abiding in. And the little twist is that when we abide in God, when we abide in the Spirit of God, somehow he's protecting us and drawing us to a place where we want to obey. But how many of us look at the Bible and how many people look at Christianity and say, it's a whole lot of rules, but God doesn't keep them because look how he makes people suffer. So who wants to obey rules? And basically, by nature, none of us like to be working by rules. Yet we live by them every day, don't we? If you don't drive on the left-hand side, you get killed. So all the time we're bombarded by living by rules and regulations. It's part of our makeup. Then God comes along, we have the Ten Commandments. How do we see those? rules. You know what? I see them as roadmaps. The difference between what Jesus does when he's talking to his disciples, he's trying to get them to enter into the spirit of intent behind what God is, to find the embodiment of what God is doing amongst his people, where he walks alongside us. And I guess the simple illustration that I just discovered this week is that the Bible is written by an author who doesn't just issue out the rules, but he also walks with us when we want to obey those rules or when we want to go that way with him. He actually walks with us. You tell me of an author that's written all the rules of books that you've written that are secular, do they walk with you? And that's the subtle difference about the Bible. The Bible, I've often said, is like a love letter from God. And every day, I can remember when I first fell in love with Leone, and I was living in Raumati South, and she was down in Te Tai Bay. So during the week, we didn't have a telephone in our flat where I was staying, and during the week I used to write a letter every day, and every day I checked the post to see if she had written one to me. I couldn't wait to get that love letter. Don't know what happened in the 50-odd years, but somewhere we lost the letters. We had them for years. And boy, I'd love to read them because they were full of passion. But that passion is what we need to discover when we see this text of what Jesus was saying today. As he was talking to his disciples, saying, and I'm using the King James Version, I abide in me. What does that mean? And I believe, I guess we had last week some of the outlines of what happens if you don't abide. I'll try and see if I can capture those. Because if we don't abide in him, if we don't remain in him, one, we don't bear right fruit. We won't achieve anything good without him. That we would become disconnected from him. That's interesting, isn't it? How many of us have an intention of reading the Bible, get into it all enthusiastic, and then after a week or two we fall away? We become disconnected. And you won't expect to claim any of his promises found in his word if you're not in his word, if the word is not abiding in you. So this morning's gospel continues on this. This part, I think, is where Jesus changes the tune. He now says, how do you abide? It's the old Nicky Gumbel question. I just love old Nicky Gumbel. He used to explain a whole lot of things, and he said, but how? How do you abide in Jesus? How do you remain? And so I want to just share a little bit of that. You know what I'm doing? I'm actually trusting the Lord here, because I've got a whole lot of notes, but I'm going to only touch them here and there. I love tramping, and I just thought of this as I was sitting here this morning at the beginning of the service. I love tramping, and one of the things that I've come to realise is not so much reaching the top of the mountain where I feel that I'm close to God. You know, I mean, for years, as a young fellow, I grew up, where do I find my strength from? My strength comes from the Lord up on the mountains. And so I used to climb mountains to sort of, in a sense, feel God's glory. But I don't need to climb the mountains. God's glory is everywhere. But the other thing I've discovered is that tramping, I used to love actually going and staying somewhere that was completely different and you made your home. So in a temporary way, if you had a tent or a temporary way, you came to an old, beat up old cabin or hut that hadn't been used for probably months and it's all dirty and grindy and all this. But to come in there in cold weather in particular, or it might be storming, to come into the shelter and to make a little fire and make that your home, you felt comfortable. And I'm seeing the scriptures now more like that, where as I start to read the word of God, it's like I'm making my home in Jesus. He's actually there with me. And that's taken me years to discover this. I always struggled with the word abide because it was a word probably common when we were going through Bible college. And I remember the principal bringing in a lump of wood, firewood, and it had been split right down the middle where there was a junction of the part going out to the branch. And he used that as an illustration. He said, you have a look at that and you cannot see the beginning or the end of how God still remains in you. Graphic. But that now I'm discovering where in this particular text that I want to just share and expand a little bit is that the words are being given in such a way that you feel part of Jesus sitting alongside you. Does that make sense? How many of you do regular Bible reading? I'm talking really regular Bible reading, every week, every day, okay? What makes you go to the Bible every day? Do you have to? Because you need to. You need to be religious, and if you read the Bible, you'll be a good Christian. Okay. So you're in partnership. You're in partnership. You might. Yeah. So how many have that connect where you suddenly think, oh, I've missed my reading today. And I want to make a confession here publicly as a Christian. In the early days, I just couldn't get enough of the Word. You know, the day I discovered the words became real, I discovered the spirit of intent, and I want to explain that a little bit. I just couldn't put the Bible down, particularly on those first few days before I gave my heart to the Lord. Something was talking to me. It was like the teacher was there, and that's the beauty of the Bible. Every other book you read about rules and regulations about by man, the author doesn't walk with you. But when you read the Word of God, and the Word tells us that from the beginning the Word was God and God was the Word, and we know that as Jesus Christ himself, he's walking with us. He's sitting there almost reading the letter to you, saying, this is how much I love you. And so when we look at the scriptures this morning, where do I got this here? Discovering that spirit of intent. It's like he walks alongside us as the author. And that's the unique thing about the Bible. He is the author and he walks with you when you read it. So expect him to start touching your heart. But like as we sang these words this morning, if you wanted to enter into what those words really meant, you had to get alongside those words, and then suddenly your heart starts to warm. True? That's how I see it. You can choose to cut off and disconnect up in here, saying, oh, I've sung that song before, don't like that one, it's a bit high up there and I can't get down there. And so you don't see the view. Thank you, Vicar, it was a good one. Thank you for sharing that experience. I just couldn't believe when I got up this morning, there's an illustration of God right in front of me. Here's the next door neighbour's going to jump up and see the island, but now he can't because it's all clouded in. And it's like that. If we approach the Bible without looking into it and seeing beyond what we think, you won't see God, but he is there. And I guess that's just about my sermon, because the spirit of intent, can I just share that? At Bible College, we had a wananga where we spent a weekend all hunking down with our sleeping bags and mattress and so forth in the lecture room. And we had about four or five Māori speakers who came, and most of them had testimonies of hating Christianity, didn't like this and didn't like that, it was human beings controlling and so forth, and the English word dominating. But these guys had conversions where they discovered the living Word of God, and it changed, it transformed their whole thinking. One guy in particular was actually challenged by a minister to say, go and search into the letters of William and Williams and see how they were trying to not get money out of the system, get land and all the rest of it, but were dearly trying to share how God was with them. That he walks along and if they reached out, he would touch them. And so he went and researched the missionary CMS files and so forth and came away transformed in his understanding of himself about who he was in Christ. And suddenly realized the Bible for what it was, and it came alive to him. He said, I discovered the spirit of intent that was behind that. Now, to follow on from that, it touched me because in amongst that weekend, I had a vision, and the word was, and I think I've shared this before, the word was primitive. It was like a thing glowing like a big banner up in front. And then the Lord said, can you remember that word primitive? In the school books that you used to read as a kid growing up about Māori things, remember that picture, the black and white picture of a Māori standing there with his kurawai on, his cloak, a taiha in his hand, and the words, the primitive Māori chief. And that word had dominated my life where I had a prejudice, unbeknown to me, against black, brown, yellow, or other cultures other than my own. And I discovered the spirit of intent behind what God was trying to say in there. I love everybody. And when I say that, you love them too. And so we get to this place where we are changed within inside us as we bathe ourselves. My wife loves saying, washing me in the blood or in the word of God. I like to be washed. Because as you read it, if you let yourself go, he'll start addressing you, he'll speak to you, and he'll transform you. That's Enoch Mosumah, I think. Because Roger and I went into prison ministry last week. It's hard yakka. We've got to meet a whole lot of rules and regulations. We've got to go to training, and it's like being told to suck eggs. We've been doing it for 40 odd years, for me anyway, and being told how to conduct yourself in the presence. But you know, I'm learning every time. But when you go in, and you're sitting down with, say, two of you, and you're in a vulnerable place, you've got to have a radio on and all the rest of it, try and work that, and you sit and start to listen and engage, and I'm saying listen because one of the hardest things is to stop yourself trying to share and let them speak. We had a beautiful moment where, in the middle of the time we had with them, only an hour, a young guy just suddenly blurted out, because we were talking about having conscience, about having things we can't deal with in our past and we never get over them. He suddenly blurted out and he said, I need to go and see my mother. Why? Because I've done something wrong and I haven't treated her well and I need to go and see my mother. Now this guy, it's like he made a connection with the Spirit of God to realize how much he'd hurt his mother as he was growing up. And unashamedly amongst his peers, he became vulnerable, and it was like he was in a little bubble by himself because God had spoken to him just through our conversation and listening. God is good. God is awesome. Yeah, okay, well, let's go. God is good. All the time. Yeah, got it. Thank you. Cheers, guys. Lovely song coming up.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Steve. That's awesome. Isn't that good? I just love that image of Jesus walking alongside us. He's not just writing the stuff and we read it and think, oh gosh, how am I ever going to do that? But he's walking alongside us. He's energizing us. He's like within us. Another story. I remember reading about Anthony Bloom, who was a great writer on prayer after the war. And he became a bishop, an archbishop in the Russian church, actually, in the end. But he said when he became a Christian, he was an atheist, and he was challenged to read the Bible, and he went back to read the Bible just so that he could go and tell the person who challenged him how rubbish it was. And he sat down, he started reading a gospel, and he said, and I met someone. I met a person. I met Jesus. It wasn't just words on a page, but there was this person. It was as if he was standing on the other side of the desk, you know. He was there. And that's what happens when we read the Bible in the best moments of reading the Bible. Sometimes we read it because, you know, we're just going to read it because we want to keep reading it because we want that moment. Because we want that moment and we want to give God the opportunity to walk with us. So thanks, Steve. And we'll just pray as we head into worship. You might like to stand. And we ask, Lord, that we'd know more of you walking with us. And as we read your word, that it would be alive with your presence, Jesus. And we ask this in your name. Amen.